Osiris.
You're sure?
Nope.
You sure?
Nope.
Get it all out.
Always will be, as much as I can.
All right, good. So, what is the most annoying thing that happens when it's time for a concert and the tickets go on sale? What is it?
Is it that sound?
Waiting for the concert to get here?
No.
Oh, the anticipation of you're not going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Sitting there like we did for Dead and Company. Sitting there like we did for Dead and Company. I was at work. I remember sitting in the parking lot at like Safeway just to make sure I could be sitting there right when the second hit to get a ticket.
It's, yeah. When they sell out in 10 seconds and you know that scalpers are the ones that got all the tickets, that's pretty annoying, man.
Yeah. Very.
And then to see them standing out in front of the show when you finally do get to go and they're out there ripping everybody off, charging $300 a ticket.
And it's sad that like everyone's willing to pay like
they want to get in.
I know, like I want people to go see what they want, but it's sad that these people have to pay like $300 for a $60 ticket, man. It's not cool.
Well, guess what?
Oh no.
What?
Cash a Trade is disrupting the secondary ticket market. They even called the Airbnb of tickets. They help real fans avoid scalping.
Like you and me?
No. Like you and me. And purchase tickets for face value. Together we're the change this industry so badly needs. Go to cashortrade.org/Osiris and get 25% off a year of gold membership. The gold membership comes with the option of receiving push and text notifications each time a ticket's posted that you're looking for. So what I'm going to break it down. What that means, on Cash or Trade, it's like a bulletin board setup. And if you're looking for a ticket, it'll get posted on that bulletin board. When you have the gold membership, what that will do is give you a notification on your phone so that you don't have to sit there and stare at the app all day waiting to see if your ticket posted.
So I can just be at work doing my thing.
Yep.
And then like my phone will go ba-ding.
Ba-ding. And then boom, you're in the show.
I gotta buy a ticket.
Yep. So you can also reply immediately without delay and gain the renew feature to bump your post to the top of the list, increasing your post exposure when looking for hard to get tickets. So go to cashortrade.org/Osiris and add the coupon code Osiris. That's Osiris when you check out and you get 25% off the gold membership. That's pretty sweet. And it takes the tickets out of the hands of the dirty, rotten scalpers and gets them back in the family's hands, guys.
Scoundrels.
They may not be dirty.
Well, they're still rotten.
That's the part.
You don't have to be dirty on the outside.
But they're still scoundrels.
They're dirty on the inside.
The clean scoundrels.
Go to cashortrade.org/Osiris.
They're pretty spiffy.
I've never heard a cigarette make a fart noise in my life.
You're not fucking smoking right then.
What do you mean?
You're doing it wrong. Watch, watch.
That's gross, dude. I wouldn't smoke those anymore if I were you. It's disgusting.
Okay.
What's it taste like?
Kind of like shit. That's what the coffee's for, though. Coffee makes it.
That really makes your breath sweet. Mmm, delicious. Apple breath. It smells like a tire after a thunderstorm.
A hot bus stop.
Melanie, what's going on over there, baby? What you doing? Shaking your head from left to right. There ain't even any music on.
I thought she had headphones on.
I've had a long week, and my body's a little sore, and I'm a little stoned, so I am stretching.
You've been smoking the devil's lettuce.
She's been packaging the devil's lettuce. And see, it is kind
of... I've been both packaging and smoking the devil's lettuce.
So it's safe to say that your day is filled with weed.
Yep.
I guess, yeah,
from
I guess it
tail,
is.
From tip to tail. From head to toe.
I'm not a morning stoner.
Excuse
sometimes me? Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. Today...
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes
today
you don't.
Okay, maybe I was. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just having a long week, so I'm sitting back. I was
Why was it a long week?
I don't. That was just. I felt like every day was
one
like Monday through Friday. That's what I felt like.
That actually is a week, Monday through Friday.
No, every day had the entire week in it. And my sister moved here, and we're getting ready to move her tomorrow. So just, I haven't been able to get enough of my Melanie time, that's all. I'm not crying about it. I'm just happy it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday the 13th, I might add.
Yeah, and it's been actually a good day, except, well, except nothing.
How was your week, baby?
It was cool.
It was a long week.
It was a long week. Every day was like Monday through Friday. No. Oh,
yeah. What do you mean?
No, so I'm 46.
Is that news?
Yeah, and everybody keeps telling me, I keep hearing the phrase, you're of an age lately. You said it to me. My boss said it to you. Said it to me the other day.
I don't ever recall saying.
Yeah,
my mom said it. His to mom us said last it, week.
Yeah, she was like,
she said, "You're of the age that you need your own restroom.
You're of and,
like but, sharing a restroom with somebody else." She's like, "When you get as you get older, you need your own restroom. You want your own."
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with Joy for sure.
You know, so yeah, but I keep hearing that phrase, "You're of an age," and man. I went through all that.
I'm sorry I said that to you because I don't want you to think like that.
Well, the only reason that I even bring it up is you asked how my week was, so I'm being transparent with our audience who's out here listening. And I honestly thought my appendix was going to fall off this week.
Fall off?
Like off, like into my out. Into my foot.
I've heard of them rupturing.
No, I thought it was going to fall off and fall down my leg into my foot. Yeah.
What'd
That'd
you
be
do
like
about
a medical
it?
Nothing. I'm a guy. I was like, it'll be fine. I went and ran and almost died, and then
me and Ryder
farted
been
a whole
saying,
bunch.
Me and Ryder, me and Ryder said to him every day of the week when he's wincing and trying not to look like it hurts. Okay.
And mind you,
you have great insurance.
You don't
you
try
go to, the doctor.
To not look like it hurts. You literally, your face contorts and your breath. And
yeah, you look constipated.
Crazy,
yes. Well,
so you don't try
well,
to not.
Just so everybody out there knows, I'm not constipated. And no, and I don't know what it was. I actually made a doctor's appointment. I'm proud of myself. And I got off work early and drove myself to the doctor's office, and the doctor wasn't there. They forgot to call me.
Oh, that's fucked.
And the doctor had an emergency and had to leave. So my appendix and I are now friends. And I'm going to just leave it at that. And that's how my week was. It was fine.
All right.
Well, congratulations on making the doctor's appointment. I mean, that shit's hard, dude. You got to either like go online and push a button.
Leave me alone, man.
Or you got to dial a phone number.
Look.
And that, yeah, I mean, that's.
They're scary to me. They have like knives and lasers and probes. It's like an alien. I don't want to. Well, I guess I kind of do want to be abducted by aliens, but.
No, you don't.
That'd be cool. How rad would that be? I mean, if they picked me up, they wouldn't. They would just be like, "Hey, what's up?" And we'd high five and go drive around.
Holy shit!
I'd return you.
Okay, Apple. Well, what's going on with your week? How was your week?
My week was great. My week was great. Well, I think everybody that's listened though that we work in the cannabis industry, and me and Melanie switched places at our job this week.
Trading places.
Yeah, she's in back packaging weed and all that all day long, weighing it, packaging it, and I got to be a bud tender and work out in front, waiting on all the people, and it was a great week. My week went fast. It was
really
so you guys picked up the rest of it, I guess, because mine went fast. 5 days out there. I mean, you are nonstop. There's not a moment to.
You know,
when I work, when I'm bud tending during the week, my week literally flies by. I feel like I'm just going from one break to another and then clocking out. But there's something more tedious about packaging and just,
you know,
the positioning.
I just thought of something.
Before.
Wait. This is relevant.
Okay.
This, we're talking and people are listening like all over the world and the country. And a lot of people don't know what a bud tender is. Like, my dad didn't know what a bud tender was.
Okay.
And he's in Vegas. Like,
well, Melanie,
what's a bud tender?
You're the professional.
A bud tender is like a bartender for cannabis. So instead of serving up alcoholic beverages, we serve up different strains of indicas, sativas, hybrids, vape pens, munchies,
edibles,
like edibles. Yeah,
tinctures.
So wait, you're a drug dealer?
I'm a pharmacist.
Yep. We're more we're
well, okay, let me not take that away from real pharmacists out there. This is my thing. I've been prescribing things for a very long time. My, you know, my pedigree is aesthetics for the last 15 years.
Shut up forever.
Sorry. I have. No, but I'm used to prescribing people things, and so this kind of easily was a, you know, was a match for me. And so it's really awesome to be able to help people figure out their medicine or their, you know, their relaxation aid or their weekend fun. So that's what a butt tender is and does.
Yeah.
Cool. What, Ryder?
Sounds like a drug dealer.
It. Hey, cannabis
is
medicine.
Do you call the checkout lady at Albertson's a drug dealer?
Yeah, if she's giving
she's
me drugs.
Sugar.
If she yes, give she me, is. If she giving me drugs. Am I buying drugs from her?
I don't know. Are you?
How about the usually. Donut lady?
The lady at the grocery well, you know, store?
Lucille
what's her name?
Down at Albertson's.
I don't know.
She's got some go. Oh, no.
Anywho. Anyhow. Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever your pleasure. This week is Alex Nola, Deadhead. The designer slash dude slash artist slash teacher slash other
homie,
stuff.
Brother.
Homie, brother, John Mayer fan slash Deadhead.
Yeah, that was interesting. This is...
Yeah, you guys, this is the first person that I've met personally that came to the Grateful Dead by way of
I don't
being a John Mayer fan.
Why that's so...
because I
because he's on the exact opposite
yeah.
side of that.
Yeah. Your body is a wonderland, and then the
Everybody
Grateful Dead
know.
Are two
but,
completely opposite.
But like,
opposite
how can
spectrum.
You not know that people that like John Mayer are going to follow him wherever
yeah,
he goes?
If Bobby right now started
yeah, we
singing
went to see
complete,
further.
Started going to a com-
yeah.
doing
no, no, no,
a completely
it's a,
different
wait, wait,
thing,
wait,
you would go like, oh, let me okay. give this a try,
put
and
the,
if it was
put
amazing,
on the put on the brakes, guys. You're misunderstanding. Guys?
We just hadn't met one.
I'm just saying I hadn't met one. That was yeah, all. Exactly. That was it. I understand
well,
no,
I had
it.
Met somebody. We knew
I had
that
never met one. That was
we know there's a lot of new John Mayer
It, like,
Mayer
blew
fans.
Your mind.
It
when
did,
you guys listen, you guys
no
will see.
No idea
yeah,
what
you
to
guys
do
will
with that
see
information.
When you press...
We well, and you should have seen their faces when we were
Alex,
recording.
Because Alex. We didn't know that about Alex. We knew some stuff about
right.
him that had not come up.
Thank you, Apple, for having my back in this situation. Because these are the situations right here with the bickering.
Oh,
you're wrong. I'm right.
Run it on and keep going on okay. and on.
Oh yeah, man.
You're either on the bus or you're not. Remember,
poke that little pokey thing.
Okay.
Oh, and
so
and
anyway,
if you guys rewind
two,
back to the last
so
episode, Aaron says I'm going to say this, and then that's the end of it. So
that was
just
the end of it.
Think about episode however whatever we're on right now.
Blur.
Okay.
Episode
yeah.
77
yeah,
or
sure.
it's
Niner.
A thing.
Niner.
We bicker.
Yeah,
we'll continue to bicker about bickering.
I bicker with you in love, family.
Yeah, it's only sparring.
Okay,
it's what is it? Verbal judo.
Yeah, it's verbal judo.
Hiya.
Come Hiya. At me, bro.
Do you even lift?
I think that we need to do the business now.
Okay, so follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road, and that's where you can find out about what's coming up on the show. On Wednesdays, I usually post what's coming on Sunday post, and we try and keep it fun and interesting over there. And yeah, we do. We try. And we achieve.
What did Yoda say?
Do
there is no
or do
try.
Not.
Only
there
we,
is no try.
What did I say? I forgot what I said now.
We put up fun stuff up there on Wednesdays.
We put up fun stuff on Instagram, and you guys should follow us at No Simple Road. And what else, guys? Help me out. Help me out. My
Patreon?
I'm stoned. Oh no! Patreon. I'll save that one for a minute.
Okay.
Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we still have the Amazon link?
Yeah.
Go
so
to forum.
Okay. I got it. I'm back on track. I got the wheel. I'm driving. So Justin had this wonderful idea to start a voicemail line, a Google Voice line. And it's been blowing up lately, man. And it's really cool to hear your guys' voices. And on the flip side of that, you can send texts and you can send other stuff through there. And it's fucking hilarious, man. The other night, the Google Translate tried to translate one of the voicemails, and here's what it said. Hey, what's up? Listen, brew a family. How you doing hanging out? I don't know if but just wanted to give you a call. Keep seeing your stuff on Instagram, and yeah, I'm having a great time. Hope everybody on the porch in the flap of a family is doing well, too. I don't know. I totally forgot what I was going to say, but it's a pleasure. Love the podcast. Hey, Chandonator, always will be as much as I can, and I hope you have a great night. All right, peace.
Chandonator.
Chandonator, guys.
Much as I can. Read that one more time.
I got it. Yeah. Hey, Chandonator. Always will be as much as I can.
Always will be as much as I can. Everyone out there.
And hope all y'all have a great night.
As much as you can.
All right, like peace. That. So now I'll play the actual voicemail so you guys can hear what was actually said.
Hey, what's up, Nelson Brewer family? How you doing? Hanging out. Stoned off my butt. Just wanted to give a call. Keep seeing yourself on Instagram. And yeah, I'm having a great time. Hope everybody on the porch in the Schlappaday family is doing well too. I don't know. I totally forgot what I was going to say, but it's a pleasure. Love the podcast. Patreon donator, always will be, as much as I can. And hope all y'all have a great night. All right, peace.
So as you can hear, Chandonator actually turns out to be Patreon donator.
Always be.
Always will always be as be much as I can.
Always will be as much
so
as I can.
So from now on, guys, we have a secret language between all of us. If I start talking about Chandonator with you guys, you know I'm talking about Patreon.
All you Chandonators
all you
out
Chandonators.
There. All you Chandonators.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate that message.
Thank you to all the Chandonators out there.
And we actually had another one. Now, this cat, I'm not sure about, man. He's a little off. He's a little strange.
Are you
Buzzbee okay. Buzzerton? Buzzbee Buzzerton is a little out of his mind. I think he might be confused on a couple subjects.
One or two.
I'm not sure. I think he might have ate paint chips as a kid.
He probably did.
And got dropped on his head.
Love you, Buzz.
So, I don't know. You guys tell me what you think.
Hello, America. This is Buzzbee Buzzerton VII, here to fill your ear holes with the magic you've been hoping for. I'm here to make beef great again, from deep within the heart of Texas. America, I got beef. So, America, I was online today, and I keep seeing all these jam band Reddit time-wasting fanatics talking about Wookiees. For those of you unaware, and based on the podcast you subscribe to, it's probably none of you. However, for the uneducated, a Wookiee is what they call those Rasta, dreadlock, non-shaven, patchouli-smelling, white kid, hacky-sack, playing terrible guitar strumming while begging for a miracle at Fisher Dead Show people. I have to say it. I got beef with people being called Wookiees. Why? The Wookiees are main character in the Star Trek series. They're like 8 feet tall. Their fur isn't matted. They take good care of themselves. Pride in their appearance, if you will. Clearly, Chewbacca has a nice brush somewhere and uses it often to make his locks look so good and fluffy. Number two, Wookiees, or one Wookiee in particular, help save the galaxy like 57 times. The first time, Chewie helped the guy from Regarding Henry and Luke Skywalker blow up the Death Star, and he didn't even get a medal for finishing the marathon. What the fuck? Blade Runner did, though. So did that other guy. Anyone else feel an anti-Wookiee bias here? Then, he helped blow up the Death Star again with Apollo Creed. Thankfully, no medals this time, although he did get to dance with all his little kids. By the way, why did he name them all Ewok? He must have known George Foreman. Then, like 30 years later, he helps the guy from The Fugitive, also known as Dr. Richard Kimball, blow up the mega Dead Star. So in a state of reverence and thankfulness for our lives, what have we done to show our appreciation for the majestic Wookiee? We name a bunch of stinky, begging white people after him. That's just bullshit, America. And that's why I got beef.
I mean, okay. Right on. The Dead Star and Star Trek. Whatever. Buzz, man. Wow. Thank you for calling into the voicemail. So yeah, that's what happens with the voicemail, guys. So keep it coming. I mean, it's really nice to create this community together and hear your voices.
Good to hear your voices. Just like if you guys tune into the show and you enjoy Aaron's voice, because I know a lot of people do, and so do I.
It's silky smooth.
But yeah, it's good to hear your guys' voice because it makes it feel like
family.
Yeah.
No Simple Road family. So yeah, that's the voicemail line, and I am remiss at the moment. I don't have the number in front of me, and I'm not quite sure what it is, and I'm just being honest. So what you can do is go to www.nosimpleroad.com and click the family tab up in the menu up there, and that will bring you to where the voicemail number is. And you can also sign up for the newsletter there, and you can click the merch button there, and there's shirts and stickers. And we're going to be working on getting some pins here pretty soon for our Patreon subscribers. Chan Donator.
Dope pins.
Dope pins.
Chan
Donator. So, yeah, patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. And Melanie just busted out the newsletter or the...
the number. The number you guys can call is 971-808-1524.
That's 971-808-1524. 971-808-1524. Call now.
I think that spells Chan Donator.
It spells Chan Donator. Yeah. So patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. That's where you can help keep this train rolling down the tracks, guys. That's how we support the show. That's how we get shirts made. That's how we pay for our mics and hosting. And you guys know all this stuff. If you believe in what No Simple Road is doing, if you feel like you're part of this family, if we're making you feel good on a weekly basis, consider going on over there and donating $1 a month or 5 or 10 or 20 or 1 million or 100,000 or whatever you want. And we will put it to good use.
If you want to donate $600,000 a month, that'd be pretty cool.
You could do that.
We would definitely get you something real dope.
I would. I would probably go to their house.
Well, you would have to. We would have to meet them.
Yeah.
At least once. Mm-hmm. They would essentially be employing us.
So that's the thought behind a patron. And that's where the word Patreon comes from.
Oh, I just got it. It just clicked right now.
Right? Check
Should
it
I
out.
Be eating while?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fill your face full of food while we work. Oh, yeah. Man, that's cool. Anyway. Yeah, a patron back in the day was a person that saw the value in an artist or a writer or a poet. I guess those are all artists, but they saw what they were doing and believed in it. And so they would pay for that person to have a house and something to eat and supplies for what they needed to get out there so that their art or their thing could get out into the world. And so that person wouldn't be distracted with the troubles of the day to day and trying to survive, and they could create what they wanted to create without distraction. So that's what I am creating here with No Simple Road and you guys and Patreon. And that's how you can get involved. So yeah, I mean, look, Melanie thinks dollars are cute. $1 a month. We put out 4 shows.
Dollars are
a month.
Subjective, objectively cute.
Yeah, that's. I mean, seriously, that's a quarter a show, man.
What's awesome though? Okay, about the asking or not, just the support, but the people who's already been supporting us—that's so freaking rad. We're able to pay for our hosting, and we bought our shirts. And I know we've said this before, but like, you guys don't realize, like, that's like, you know, $300, $500, $20, $50, like, so. Moving out here and being able to create a whole wonderful like podcast and a community, and it's already kind of being paid for by people who are in the community, is amazing.
Self-sustaining. And I was thinking about this at work today when we very first started No Simple Road, and I had recorded the first episode and I hadn't built the website yet and I hadn't put it up on Libsyn to be hosted. And I was looking at all the different platforms to do it on and looking at what they cost. And I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to swing this every month. Like, it was a concern for me, you know, like the day-to-day grind of stuff and bills and whatnot. I was like, man, this is, you know, something that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do for a long time. And you guys out there have made it so that we can continue to do this. And I just want to say thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
From like the bottom of my heart. This, you guys have helped me figure out what I want to do when I grow up.
Aww.
And I appreciate you.
Thank you guys for that. That's been really great.
And
you're gonna grow up now.
I'm not gonna grow up, but I know what I want to do. Am I gonna grow up?
I don't know.
I'm just gonna get older. I'm not gonna grow up.
Toys R Us.
I'm definitely not.
No, actually not.
Toys R Us is fucking going out of business, bro.
Toys R Us is gone. There's no more Toys R Us kids.
What?
Yep.
That makes me sad.
You should be sad. That's the ending of an era.
Jeffrey, the
anyway, moving on.
Patreon. You guys want to talk about Game of Thrones?
No.
Patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. That's where you can go. And we have a goal on Patreon now. And when we get to $500, we will do a live Q&A with you guys and Patreon subscriber only live Q&A. And we will create a new run of shirts for our Patreon subscribers. So that's a thing. So thanks, you guys. Those of you that are already donating, you fucking rock. And thank you for helping keeping this thing going down the tracks. So that's Instagram and the Amazon link at the bottom of the page at NoSimpleRoad.com. The shirts and stickers are still available. And Patreon and all that.
Make sure you always will be as much as you can.
Yeah, Chandonator.
And just in general. In life, make sure you always will be as much as you can.
Thank you, Ryder, for that. That's deep. You look like you were about to cry.
I was.
Okay. Guys, I just want to say...
Chandonator.
No. That's not what I wanted to say.
No. Oh.
Summer tour's coming, man.
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo. Yes, it is.
It's like...
I still have to get time off. I still have to schedule time off work.
Sounds like a you problem.
It is a me problem. I was just sharing it with the world.
Nobody wants to know that.
You not know,
YouTube, but the people.
Someone out
I'm
there.
I'm freaking excited.
And got excited.
This was a cool interview to hear somebody else's experience, especially somebody younger than us, like, and his journey on how he came into the scene and his viewpoints on it and the way he looks at it and all of it. It was really interesting to me. And what a kind, cool person, too, to boot, man.
Yeah.
I had a great... This was one of those interviews, like, when I hit stop on the record, I was like, oh, man, we could have kept going for another 2-3 hours. Like, no problem.
Yep.
Oh.
Alex is a good guy. So, yeah, that's all the business stuff, guys. That was 21 minutes of us bullshitting and rambling. And if you're fast-forwarding, this is where you stop. Fast forwarding because I'm getting ready to get to the interview.
How are they going to know that you said that if they're fast forwarding?
Because you can hit the 15 second forward button and then you hear them go, but and then I do it all the time with Joe Rogan. Anyway,
I just like
I don't want to hear ads.
Little ball thing.
Okay,
I'm not being mean. I like Joe's show. He's fucking amazing. He anyway. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Nola Deadhead, also known as Alex. What are you smoking, Apple?
Great. What is this? Grateful
Breath? Oh, no, that bread. One? I don't remember what that... Oh, that's Purple Cotton.
Oh, Purple Cotton?
That's Purple Cotton from some unnamed dispensary in Las Vegas. How's it taste? Tastes good?
It's kind of tingly. Yeah, tastes good.
Yeah?
A little tingly on the tongue.
Tingly on the tongue, the tip of the teeth, the mouth, and the lips?
Good exhale. Yeah.
Feeling it, yeah, Mr. Krabs?
That was good.
Melanie, you here
immediate
with us?
Immediate effects.
Yeah. All right, you ready, baby?
Sometimes.
Are we going to do this? So we're gonna call Nola, better known as Nola Deadhead on Instagram. And he has a real name, but I'm not going to say it until he says it. And yeah. So, I'm not sure how to do this because I have to talk and punch in numbers at the same time.
Oh,
and unfortunately, my brain
my
won't allow me to do those two things simultaneously. So, if somebody could just take over, somebody drive for a minute.
Someone,
hold the wheel.
Boop, boop. Oh, if Ryder, I'm not take, driving take and you're not driving, then who's steering the bus?
Who I don't know. This is scary.
This is scary.
There's like no tracks or anything.
No.
Nowhere to go. That looks like a bump in the road.
This is a really complicated road.
Uh-oh.
I hope
you remember these numbers.
One could almost say it's a not simple.
It could be simple. I'm back. Here, I'll take the wheel.
Simple.
Oh,
all right. Jeez. I'm exhausted. We haven't even started. Hi, Darwin.
I need to take a nap.
Here we go, guys. This is going to be loud. And No?
No, that was rather quiet. Darwin, quit hitting the table.
No, not happening.
Do you do the numbers Stop. Right?
Pause. And we're back. We're back. For real this time. We're gonna try it. Because sometimes the fingers don't do what the brain tells the fingers to do. It's strange like that.
Right.
All right. It's ringing. Things are happening. Shit's going down. We're going to find out all about this cat.
Meow.
All about?
Now he's not going to answer. We'll have to Hello. Travel again. Hey.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing well. Hey, how are you?
All right, so that's Mel. And obviously, I'm Aaron. And then we got Apple
and
over there.
And this is Apple over here.
And I'm Ryder.
This How's is so crazy. Going, I listen to y'all's podcast, and it's weird to, like, listen to the podcast, and then now I'm talking to you guys. That's kind of a weird moment.
It's, well, dude, okay, so we're just, like, some podcasters that live in Portland. Like, put yourself in my shoes, and then you're talking to Oteel.
Like, oh, dude, I actually listened to that. I went back and listened to it earlier this week, and, dude, that was such a cool interview.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's surreal. But you know what I got out of that whole thing? Like, I mean, I got a lot out of that interview, obviously, but like what I got out of that for myself, one of the main lessons was we're all just fucking people, man, and we're all trying to figure it out. So here we are.
Yeah. <that's, laughs> oh, man. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So how should we address you? Because I don't know if you want to give your name or.
Oh no! Yeah, I'm totally fine. You guys can call me Alex. That's me. I would feel weird going by a nickname like that, like in spoken word, you know.
Right, but for you to say like your highness or something. Yeah, you can call me your highness.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine too. Yeah,
sir, the dude, El Duder. So
yeah, you guys can honestly call me anything.
All right. Well, I think we'll stick with Alex for simplicity's sake.
That might be easier for the lot of us.
Yeah. So, Alex, man, for everybody out there that's going to be listening to this, like, we got you on the show, basically, you and I started communicating through Instagram, right?
Mm.
And you're a designer, right?
I don't know if I'd actually really call myself a designer. I never really looked at myself as like a graphic designer or anything like that. I don't have any formal training, not that you'd really need it, but I just kind of think of it as I'm a dude who's got like an eye for it. I believe in my eye, and I feel like I can look at things and see things that, and I know if it's good or bad. And but I definitely, I don't think I would consider myself a designer, but it's very flattering that you would.
Well, yeah, I mean, like how you said to us, like, oh, it's weird to be talking to you guys. Like, there's a perception of that happens when you meet online. Like, you, mm-hmm. It's a persona almost that you meet, not the person, because it's mm-hmm. impossible to transmit personality in the digital world. You can show like a face. But it's not the person. Do you get what I mean?
No, so, I get exactly what you mean. Because even then, you could try to communicate with someone, and you know, nothing comes off, you know, on the internet or through text message or whatever it is that, you know, that would be coming off the different way, maybe speaking. So yeah, I definitely, you know, as much as we use social media kind of as a society, it's such a great tool, but it's definitely no substitute for just sitting down and chatting with somebody, you know.
Yeah, totally. And that's why we wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, we wanted to sit down and chat. So thanks for joining us, man.
Oh my gosh. Thanks you guys so much for having me. I'm honored, honestly.
So Alex, like, I was like, the other day we're doing about to do an interview, and I'm like, okay, so what do we know about so-and-so, whoever we're going to interview? And we couldn't find too much about you. So I want to know, like, from ground one, like, what's up with Alex? Like, what kind of cool parents you got? Like, do you have love in your life? you know, what
one at a time.
What kind of cool stuff? Well, I like to give them a lot to chew on so that they can, like, think about it as they talk.
Yeah, no, that's...
You can start anywhere you want, buddy.
I guess kind of what would have started my kind of path towards where I am now is, I mean, in third grade, I can remember driving home with my mom from summer camp, listening to John Mayer's Room for Squares album. It had just come out. And so that kind of where I started. I came from the John Mayer side of things. I've been a huge fan of his literally since the beginning. I picked up a guitar because of him. I discovered this whole world of like Grateful Dead shirts and merchandise, bootlegs, that kind of thing, through Jeremy Dean, which came from John. So like everything, like John's kind of the center of my Dead solar system in a way. And I never really heard the Dead before. And then, it was announced that he was going to be joining the band. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. So, you know, I listened to some shows and stuff like that. And I loved it. I just fell in love with it. And I guess it kind of really clicked, even probably before then, summer of 2013, he went on a tour and was playing like Going Down the Road Feeling Bad and Althea and stuff like that at his shows. And I remember hearing that and being like, who wow. is this? Like, where did this come from? Because I knew that's not John's music. So I kind of looked it up, and I had a couple songs by the Dead that I liked. And those were really cool jams. And then in, 2015 and 16 and stuff like that, just downloading shows and listening to them, it just kind of grew. And I guess it kind of really peaked out probably that fall of 16. Did they tour fall of 16? Or maybe summer of 16. In 16, it really kind of came around
for
me.
Yeah, we saw them here.
Oh, yeah. And, I think the Summer of 16 tour was cool. But then, man, I guess I really kind of fell in love and got obsessive, right about the end of that year. And then by the time Summer of 17 came around, I was just like, it's all I listen to. I never thought that there was something that I would love more than John's solo music. But the Dead, it's like I got into Dead and Company and would listen to those shows, and that brings me back to like the old shows. So now I'm trying to like I'm kind of working backwards in a way, and trying to find my way back through the different eras and stuff like that. And it's just it's kind of been a whirlwind, honestly. And the Dead's music is just literally unlike anything else. It's really been a really, really positive thing for my life, and it's really done a lot for me. So that's that's kind of a long form answer of where it came from.
That's beautiful, man. That's
oh, that's cool.
It's funny.
It gives us all that little information.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like you say, you're working backwards. It's strange for someone like me, like
here I come from a John Mayer.
You're coming from a completely different frame than I am, and it's a trip to hear that. Like when you started talking, just I looked over at Apple, I was like, wow,
Mayer fans through the Dead,
right? I never even thought about that. I never thought that was even like a thing that I don't know. I just never even considered that was a way that people were being introduced to this music. And you say, like, at the end of what you just answered, you were like, it's just been really positive for my life, and it's done a lot of amazing things. Like, what are some of the things that have changed for you since you started getting into the music and digging deeper?
I really have a lot more, I guess, kind of positive outlook, and not like I was ever like a negative person, but like it kind of puts you in a headspace that's just like 100% positivity. Until you get to like Broke Down Palace at the end of a long set, and then you go down a little bit, and maybe you come back up. But the strangest thing. Listening, you put on the music, like I put it on the way to work or the way home if I had a long day. It's just like, it's almost, the music kind of, it gets to you in a way where it's almost like a friend. It's almost like just someone who gave you a hug. And it's just I don't know. And it's led to, like, I've always had a really good relationship with one of my friends, but he's gotten into the Dead too a little bit before I did. And it's now led to, like, we're now best friends. We talk about shows all the time. I'll go over to his house and we'll, you know, have a beer and get on YouTube and find an old show and watch it. And so it's kind of led to, you know, some stronger friendships. And I mean, and obviously the biggest glaring one of all is that it's led me to be able to sit down and create things that I can then put out and other people can get. And it, like, you know, there's nothing quite like the feeling of when I'm packing up shirts, I'm just looking at the shirt, like, someone's going to get this shirt and put it on and, like, either wear it to a show or, you know, remember a show that they went to maybe last fall. And just, like, the idea of someone getting something positive out of what I'm getting that's positive, it's like kind of like the wheel kind of going around in a way. And it's just it's a very uplifting feeling to know that, you know, something as simple as a t-shirt with a Steely on it that I made in my bedroom can get to someone and put a smile on their face. You know, it's really, really crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's a trip for us too. Like, I understand what you mean about that when people buy No Simple Road shirts, and then, like, the one that stands out in my mind when you said that just now is one of our past guests, Jeremy St. Rebel. He was wearing one of our shirts in an Instagram video, and I thought to myself, like, holy shit, the journey that thing has taken from inside of Justin's mind and then, like, digitally transmitted to me and then, you know, sent to North Carolina to be printed, and these people printed these shirts and then they got mailed to Portland and then, you know, all the whole thing. And now he's wearing it and it's out there for everybody to see. There's so much intention and thought that goes behind that. And, you know, it's funny, you would think, like, it's just fuck a t-shirt with a design on it, man. No, it's so much more than that.
It really is. And it's cool that you guys know that feeling. I have a guy that I've kind of chatted with here and there on Instagram. His name's Steven, and he's living right now, I believe, in Singapore. So he bought, like, one of my first shirts. And I'm like, I don't even know how to send something to Singapore. So I go down to the post office and I'm like, can I get, like, tracking on this? And the lady's like, we can barely track things that go around the corner. No. I was like, all right, well, we're living on a prayer for this one. So I send it. A couple weeks later, it gets there. It was really cool to have, like, I posted a couple pictures of him, like, literally in Singapore wearing the shirt. And then he went to Plain in the Sand. So, like, that shirt then made a trip to Mexico. And I'm just like, it's really cool the miles that shirt's made. And so, yeah, no, that feeling of, like, that it started somewhere and then, you know, traveled 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 miles. It's like, it's really, really, it's weird, but it's, like, really cool.
Materializing a thought and then it being shared all over the world.
Yeah.
And I gotta imagine it's gotta be similar to the feeling that, like, that these guys like the Dead and John get whenever they're putting out music. It's like they made something that they might have written in a bedroom or, you know, in their backyard, and then people all over the world are listening to it and getting, you know, enjoyment out of it. So it's really cool.
You have something, Apple? What were you gonna say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, it's funny, like, you had said a few minutes ago, like, I feel like I have an eye for it, and it's something that I, you know, I can put stuff together. Like, has that always been your thing? Like, growing up, were you into doing that, or is that something that's come out of you listening to the music?
It kind of always has been, and it really was me being not really hard-headed. I guess I don't really know what the term is. I like, when I was growing up and when I was a kid, I was really big into, and I still am, into cars. So I would, like, sit down as a kid and, like, draw cars, like, all the time. That was kind of my thing. And then it's so funny. It's a really funny moment that I had with my mom. You know, when you grow up and you're, I guess, my age group, we grew up with video games, and she's, you know, your mom tells you, oh, you're never going to get anything out of these games, you're wasting time, like, go do something constructive. But I have, like, kind of like a gotcha moment, because one year there was this NASCAR game. I'm like, if you're a kid like me who grew up in the South, you like NASCAR. That's just kind of what we like. But there's just for whatever reason or another, we like things going fast in a circle. But
hey, it's all good.
Yeah. So we so they put out this video game and had an accompanying software that you could get where you could download templates and like go on your computer and design your own cars and upload them into the game. So like I started doing that like crazy. I would spend more time designing the cars and putting them in the game than I would actually playing the game itself. So I always like to mess with my mom. I'm like, I did get something out of that one video game. Yeah.
So thank you to NASCAR and video games.
The most unlikely people that led me to like designing Grateful Dead shirts.
that's rad. So, I mean, we just talked to Daniel Donato a couple weeks ago and like mm-hmm. he was saying one of the things that got him playing guitar was Guitar Hero. So, you know,
yeah.
Hey, Mom,
that was a really cool interview too. I'd never, and that's one of the cool things about like, you know, a program like a podcast like you guys is that I'm hearing people almost every week that I've never come across and everything like that. So I actually, it was cool listening to that interview a couple weeks ago. And Daniel seems like a really cool dude and his music is fantastic. The dude's an insane guitar player.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, it's a trip for us too, because the same thing is happening for us that's happening for you. And we're just sharing it. Like,
oh yeah.
Daniel isn't somebody that we followed a ton before that, but now we do. And mm-hmm. same with Jeremy Dean and Joe Roberts. And like, I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. It's been this unfolding that's happened for us that we're bringing everybody along for the ride.
Yeah. Our eyes are way more open now. Cause now we're looking all the time at people that we want to have on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we wouldn't have thought of before.
That's really I'm cool. Curious, that's an angle I would have never thought of, that you guys are also like discovering people along with the rest of us.
Yeah, it's all new. A lot of it's new to us. I mean, of course, there's the standard, you know, like mm-hmm. O'Teal and Duncan Trussell and Ed and those guys. Like everybody knows who they are.
No, everybody knows.
Well, a lot of people know who they are, but when we find these gems, like Daniel and the others, it's, and you too, like it's crazy and cool. And like the connections that we make, the Grateful Dead have this amazing, this community has an amazing ability to bring people mm-hmm. together in a way that I haven't seen anywhere else outside of this thing. It's surreal.
Oh, I totally agree. Cause like, I mean, obviously without the Dead music, I'm not sitting here talking to you, you know, fine people. And, it's like one of those things like, you know, social media was designed to like connect people and bring people together, but it's like the Grateful Dead were almost like the original social media of like the shows weren't just a concert. You didn't just go there to hear music. You went there. It was like a social experience. And I think that that's like the coolest thing. It's like you mentioned, you didn't consider like, you know, people, you know, coming in through John on that side. Well, I think it's one of the coolest things about the fact that the Dead have played, you know, in one iteration or another for the last 50 years is that there's 50 years worth of fans who all came in at a different entry point. It all have a different story. And like you can walk the lot and meet, you know, 100 people and you're getting literally 100 unique different stories of how they fell in love with this music and how it like led them to meet friends or their, you know, girlfriend or husband or anything like that. It's like it really is almost like this big web that just brings so many people together. And that's why I honestly think there's nothing like it. Like going to my first show about a month ago, like I'd heard shows like all the time and I'm like, oh, the music's like, you know, some of my favorite music and everything like that. But then you're sitting there at the show and it's like, it blew my mind in a couple ways, and it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. The Dead are I mean, it's just so cool how it brings so many people with different walks of life together, and it's like you guys always talk about, it's one big family. It literally is.
Yeah, and it, you know, while you're talking just now, like you're talking about going through the lot and seeing and meeting people that have had all these different experiences and different entry points and everybody's from a different place. And, you know, I've heard the Dead described as like the quintessential Americana. And that's what America as a country, the idea of a country was supposed to be, was like people coming from all over, you know, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses or whatever mm-hmm. the thing is on the Statue of Liberty is what I think of. Like, that's kind of what the Grateful Dead did with the music, is brought all these disparate groups and people with all these different experiences together and created this country of fans. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that the experience of the first show, like you said, it blew my mind in a couple ways. I want to know what happened. Like, were you tripping that night? Where were you? What was going on? Like, I want to hear that story.
I see. Yeah. So that story, oh my gosh, that's, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Gave me chills and I'm just,
and that's a good beginning right there when you have to go, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, man.
I'm speechless to begin with. I guess it kind of started, Friday night for me, me and a buddy, my buddy, Ben, who's, my best friend and we're big, you know, we like the Dead and, we hit the French Quarter Friday night. We met up with you guys know Buzz. I know he's very active on message boards. He's been very, very supportive of me. So we hung out.
Us too.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude. But we got together and we went to my favorite bar in New Orleans is Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop. I believe I'm correct in saying it's the oldest bar in North America. I think it is.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it's a really, really cool place. It's no electricity, candlelight, everything like that. Really, really cool. And I'm just sitting at the table with my friend and Buzz and his friend, and these like three or four dudes walk by, and they look at me and they go, "Are you Nola Deadhead?" And I'm literally just sitting in the, I'm like, yes, this is so cool. I had like stickers with me. I'm like, "Here's stickers." And they were actually going, they're going at some point to visit Chi Chi. And they said that they would give my stickers to him to put on his van. So I'm like, that, like, of all the people to run into, that was really cool. So that, the experience Friday night, you know, I had several different times people would come up, "Hey, are you that guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." That's like really cool. But,
wait, can you talk about how that made you feel? Cause I, like, you're just chilling, hanging out, doing your mm-hmm. thing, and then unexpectedly somebody's like, "Hey, aren't you like what's the heat like?" You know, it's, like, what does that feel like?
The initial reaction is like, you're so off guard of just like, "Oh, what?" And then you're like, "Yeah, that is." And it's like it's cool because like I put things out digitally, and everything goes on like Instagram or Reddit or whatever it is. I put things out digitally. It's you know, very impersonal. And then for you to be you know, just, I'm just sitting at my favorite bar, and then some people come up and recognize me. I'm just like, it kind of personalizes the entire thing, I guess, from my perspective. And I would imagine for theirs too, to put, you know, a face with like a digital persona. But it's like off balance, and then it's very much like you just feel, I just felt very appreciated, because I mean everyone's just so aww. Nice, and they're just like,
"Yeah,
you know, I love your stuff, and this shirt was so cool, and I love these," and it's just it's to be thanked for putting out things that I like. You guys know the exact feeling because you do this podcast and you enjoy it, but like I genuinely am my happiest when I'm like sitting down designing a shirt or putting something out or something like that. So to be thanked for doing something that I love doing is just, it's almost, I mean, it's really beyond words. It's, I mean, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you guys know the exact feeling because y'all are getting to do the same thing.
Yeah, we've had a couple moments like that once at Dark Star, and yeah, a couple people have said stuff to us, and I know mm-hmm. exactly what you mean. It kind of throws you off for a minute, and then you're like, "Wow, I'm at least for me, I was like, I'm really grateful that I get to do this, like that people are liking it, mm-hmm. and it's."
And yeah, you just make me feel so fortunate.
It was funny, Humphreys McGee. We got our shirts in with the hand logo and stuff, mm-hmm. and all four of us wore them to Humphreys McGee show. And mm-hmm. Aaron, that was funny. Aaron was like, "We either look really cool or like total nerds."
We're all wearing the same shirt. I go, cool. "There's no gray area here. This is either really cool or super lame."
that's really funny. My girlfriend, actually, she's obviously got a few of my shirts, and anytime we're gonna go out and hang out somewhere, she's always like, "What shirt are you wearing?" So she doesn't wear the same one.
so okay, let's back up. So you're at the bar, and
oh yeah,
you got noticed, and then so let's go on from there.
So I of course went to the bathroom and slapped a sticker up in the bathroom. So that's actually still there. Oh, yeah. I had a friend who sent me a picture of it today. So that was really cool. But we actually went to a Dead cover show by the Ico All-Stars at the Joy Theater on Canal Street. And I had a backpack full of shirts. I made these shirts just to sell specifically at the show. And I had a big backpack full of shirts on. I go up to the security line. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even consider the fact that, like, I have to go through security. So I go up to security. I'm like, can I bring this in? It's just T-shirt. She's like, there's no booze in there, right? I'm like, no. She's like, all right. I'm like, well, that's New Orleans.
I don't care as long as there's no booze. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we're not even going to check it. But so I go in the show. I put my backpack down. We're chilling at the show before the show. And I got a couple other people. Hey, I'm such and such from Montana. And like, I'm like, this is so cool. So I had a couple people that recognized me there. And that was really awesome. You know, getting to shake some hands and you know, see some faces. And then the Ico All-Stars put on a fantastic show. I didn't really know what to expect because I'd never been to a Dead show. So I'd never been to a Dead cover show either. So they put on an amazing show. They had a couple of special guests. That was a really, really good time. And then we walked out. I left like right as the last song was ending. So I was like, I told my friend, I'm like, I'm gonna run out and like get in front of like the exit doors and just hold a shirt up and see. So I had people coming out looking at the shirts and stuff like that. So that was cool. I believe we ended up going that night, me and my friend, till about 4 a.m. So that was quite a late night for me on that Friday night. And then we got some sleep. I got up in the morning, got a late start, grabbed a Bloody Mary. And and headed down to the lot. I got to the lot probably around noon or so, and it was, you know, kind of bumping a little bit, but not too much. And then by, you know, a couple hours later, it's just like people everywhere, and there's like people selling all kinds of stuff. It was really, really cool to see all the like the different things that people were selling, and you know, there was people playing music, and so like the lot scene itself, like I had no idea what to expect, and that was really, really cool because I mean, again, I'm getting recognized. I'm seeing like so many people wearing my shirts. I must have seen like 20 or 25 people at the lot, like literally wearing a shirt that I made. So I would walk up to them, hey, I made that, and talk to them and
rad.
Get their name. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. It was so, so cool. I mean, and it's like I would just be like sitting there talking to someone, and like it would just catch my eye, and I would look over and be like, oh my god, that's one of my shirts. Like every single time, it's like it's like a dog like in a UPS truck drives by. I'm like, ooh. It was so, so cool. But yeah, so meeting all those people was a lot of fun.
And that feeling in the lot, man, like even having never been to a show, like you recognize, at least I did, in the lot before my first show, like I felt like something was going to happen. Like I didn't know what it was. Thinking like in retrospect, like obviously this is hindsight talking right now, but like in thinking back, I'm walking through that lot and the smell of like weird food and patchouli and and really good weed and body odor and like weird music and drums and people talking,
awesome,
and
little village,
everything just happening, and you could feel this like visceral energy in the air, this excitement that's happening, and I just knew like, oh shit, something's gonna happen.
I know exactly what you mean. It literally is. It's almost like a like an electricity in the air. It's like a like almost like a buzz. It's just like you know, so many people who have the same goal in mind of just like having a good time at the show, like something about like people who are just there for purely positive reasons, like being in the same space, it almost is like a tangible thing in the air where you're just like, this is so cool. It just made me, I was already so ready. I mean, I had to wait, you know, whatever it was, 2 months for the show because of John's appendix. So I was already anticipating it, but then like that just puts on another layer of like, dude, this night is going to be like so, so cool.
So and that, you finish in the lot. You know, it's time for the show, and I don't know, you maybe stash your stuff or do whatever you're going to do, and you walk in there, like, what's going through your head as you're walking into that first thing, man?
Well, it was cool because I got to the venue and I had a someone on Instagram who was like, I didn't catch you in the lot. Where are you? So I like literally have a shirt for somebody. I met somebody outside and gave him a shirt like right before I walk in. So I walk into the show and we didn't get there super early, but I didn't know like how long it takes them to get out and stuff like that. So I'm like really, really anxious. I'm like, I'm talking to my friend. I'm like, do we have to get to our seats? We have to get our seats. I can't miss the opener. If I miss the opener, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So like, I'm like literally sitting, we get to our seats and we're kind of sitting there for a minute. And I'm like, I really have to go to the bathroom, but I don't want to miss this opener. And he's like, you're probably fine. I'm like, all right, I'll run. So I run to the bathroom and I get back. I'm like, I'm still nervous. So they, I'm just kind of sitting there.
Had you taken anything?
No, I've never really, it's, listening to you guys talk about, psychedelics and stuff is really cool. And I love hearing experiences, but it was just never my thing, I guess.
Yeah, right on.
But I love hearing people's experiences and I honestly think you should be able to do whatever you want to do in that area. But I just, to me, my favorite thing is just to have like a good beer and just kind of simmer almost.
You just got the thumbs up from Apple over there.
Oh, I get that too. I like drinking.
I love that. It's pure and it's good. And
you can get there too with a few beers. You don't overdo it. You get to that right level, like you said, where you're just kind of floating.
Simmering.
You're just, feeling good. Yeah. Getting dancey.
But you're talking about being anxious. I know that feeling, man. That mm-hmm. before show tension, excitement, anxiety feeling, like, oh man, I love that. That's one of my, that's like almost as good as the show for me.
Yeah, it's almost like its own little high of just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so cool. This is going to be and you're just sitting there, this is going to be so cool. And you're just like, the anticipation of it is just, it's almost like its own little thing. And I can remember like the lights go down and I just look at my friend. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, hold on. Like, this is about to start. And so they come on and then they launch into Stranger. And I'm just like, yes. I'm just like, this is perfect, because we're sitting there talking about like what's the opener. We kind of knew that we were going to play Truckin'. That was kind of an obvious one, but I told my friend, like, there's no way they start with Truckin'. It's way too obvious of an opener, so it's gonna be something else. And the Stranger opener, it was so cool, because I'm just bobbing back and forth, we're getting in the groove, and it's just like this, it's like a release of the tension, the anticipation, and now you're in the show, and it's just like, oh, it's like, it's almost like a wave. You have like waves going through your body of like, this is like so cool. This is so cool. Like, I'm actually here. I'm actually doing this.
The cool thing about that is like, everybody else that's there is feeling that same exact thing.
So you get that high off the crowd,
and every you're like getting lifted up higher and higher and higher by mm-hmm. everybody there.
Oh my gosh. And you can honestly feel it. I mean, everyone who's ever gone to a show knows exactly, what I mean. And if you haven't gone to a show, you have to go. Cause like you can, it's almost like the lot, and it's almost even more cause you have the music going too, but it's just this tangible thing in the air of just like, it's almost like vaporized good vibes. And it's just like, all over the place, and everyone's in this one thing together, and it's just really, it's a really, really special, special thing.
And then here's this band that's gonna take you for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the bus came by and I got on. That's when it all began. we're going for a ride. And those moments when it's one of the things like about the. Have you ever listened to Broke Down podcast?
I haven't, embarrassingly.
Okay.
But I haven't.
Okay. You should, no, it's fine. You should check him out. So like what he does is he'll take different songs from different live shows and he'll have like an era that he'll do, or Bobby songs, or he'll like themes. Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I noticed from listening to that podcast, and also I'd experienced it at the show, but I had never been able to like frame it in my head, was like those moments when the band is doing something amazing and mm-hmm. that wave of cheers goes through the crowd.
Yes.
You hear people start to hoot and holler and everybody's feeling it at the same time, and it kind of moves through the crowd like a snake. or a worm or something. Like those waves just come through and wash over everybody, and you hear like the hooting and the hollering. It sounds like a madhouse, you know?
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was really cool, and something I kind of didn't realize until being at the show, but now that I realized that I can hear it like on audio, is that somehow or another, everyone like knows when to get loud, like at the same time. It's like you'll have like different parts in the songs where like it's just a collective, like everyone is cheering like at the exact moment. And it's like, how is everyone so synced up to where at the exact same moment everyone has the same reaction of like, yes, and now I have to cheer and be loud. And I just think that's really, really cool that everyone kind of gets on that same plane, that same level, and everyone gets kind of synced up in a way.
That's the group mind. That's the
and it moves
the
you.
Zeitgeist, telepathy, whatever you want to call it. Like it's moving everybody, so we're caught up in this. What do you call that? We're caught up in the music and going for that ride, and then lyrically, like it takes you. I don't know. I mean, for me, and I know the people that are sitting around me, and I'm sure you too. Like. They're kind of like narrating your mind.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
They take you like something specific can be happening around you, and that's what they're singing about. Like, how is that even possible?
I guess there's no way really to name it, but I know exactly what you mean. It's like, it's just the right thing at the right time. I don't know. It's part of what really makes the music and the experience and everything so unique from like other bands and stuff.
Yeah, you know, you and I were just talking about like before the show in the lot, and that feeling of expectation and everybody feeling good and getting ready to go in. And I've been to a lot of concerts, and not just Dead shows. And I think about like walking into pretty much any other kind of show than a Dead type show, and there's not that thing. Like people are just kind of going in and go to their seats, and people are drinking beer and it's whatever, and the band comes on, everybody cheers, and then they play their songs and it's over and it was a show. But this is more visceral.
Oh, exactly. And I can attest to that directly. Like I told you guys, I've been a John Mayer fan for the majority of my life, and I got lucky enough last August he came to New Orleans, and I sat fifth row, like just a little bit right of center, like the closest I've ever been to this guy that it's been such a big inspiration and an idol for me. And I'm sitting literally fifth row from him, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing. And then I go to a Dead show, and I'm on the floor, but I'm not close. I'm in like floor C. We're towards the back of the floor, and it's just like the proximity to the band almost doesn't really matter. It's like the pit is one thing, like the pit would be insane, but like if you're just inside, it's like it's almost like, you know, I was in the back of the floor and I was at the very front and center at the same time. It's really, really crazy.
it's happening everywhere inside that place. I saw a meme, I think I might have posted it a while back, and it said Jesus could turn water into wine, but Jerry could turn a coliseum into a spaceship.
Yes, I saw that and I sent that to my friend. I thought that was hilarious, but it's so accurate.
It's true. I mean, it's funny, but it's true that whatever is happening in there, like I at the point in my life that I'm at now, like I don't care where I'm at as long as I'm in the show. Like it being down on the floor, frankly, for me, it's a little exhausting at 46 years old. You know, I want to sit down, and a lot of times we're high as shit at the show, so I'm going to need to sit down at some point. But like, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are, just as long as you're there.
Yeah, right. And I didn't even realize that was going to be how it is. Cause like the couple days go leading up to the show, I'm texting my friend and I'm like, should we try to get in the pits? Should we try to move up? Like the tickets are just so expensive by this point. I'm like, really can't afford to do that. But then you get to the show and like walking out, it's just like, I didn't need to be in the pit or front row. I could have been in the 300 section at the top and would have just had just as good of a time.
Yeah. And so, okay. So they come out and they bust out Stranger, and you're like, holy shit, we're going on a ride. And that's funny that you said that, because that was the song that did me in, man. That I walked into that first show, them playing that, and I was done. But and I had never like, you have the benefit of having heard Live Dead before. I had never heard Live Dead before. So after Set Break, after Set Break, when they went into Drums in Space, I didn't know what was happening.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine, because like it, because Drums in Space is like its own thing and it's so crazy on its own. But to not even know it was coming, or that, or what was going on, I can't even. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what that's like,
bro. It was such a fucking trip. Like, so the music like deconstructs, right, and it turns into communication of feeling, right? Mm-hmm. I know that now, but at the time I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, and everybody's like, there's everybody kind of would sit down and, you know, hang out during Drums in Space. And then there would be like, you know, maybe a few hundred or more people standing up dancing. And here I am dancing through this stuff. And it's just like, it seemed to me at the time, like communication, if aliens landed and were trying to speak to us.
Yes. Yes. Totally. I couldn't have said it better. I honestly couldn't have.
And so when they get into Drums in Space, like, were you like, oh my God?
Well, I like heard Drums in Space. I have that benefit, like you were saying. So I kind of knew what to expect, but like, it's pretty crazy to think about, because they play probably, you know, 15 or 20 minutes worth of Drums in Space. And I remember it starting, and I remember like just kind of, I was kind of listening to it and kind of taking it all in and just experiencing it and kind of moving a little bit. And then like they launch an Estella Blue, like what seems like 3 minutes later. And I'm just like,
right.
I'm like, how long was that? Was that 5 minutes or what? Was that 30 minutes? Was that an hour? Was it 2 minutes? I'm like, you're just like in that mindset. And it's just like, it happens. And I'm just like, this is really cool. But like, I almost wanted more of it. And then I go back and listen to the recording, and it's like 15 or 20 minutes. And I'm like, this was, you know, a minute and a half in person.
Right. It's so weird. Like, I remember, I think we were at Shoreline last year in the summer, Apple and I, and mm-hmm. they went into Drums in Space, they finished. And then there was this older lady sitting near us, and it must have been her first show. And she looked at me and she goes, do they do that every show? And I was like, what do you mean? Do what every show? And she was like, that electronic dance music thing. And I was like, Drums in Space? Yeah, that's part of the show. And she was like, that's too much. It's too much.
It's too much.
No, it's just enough. It's just enough. And so you got a Estella Blue coming out of Drums in Space.
Right. Yeah, I did. And it was, I mean, obviously going into, you don't know like what to expect to, as far as, you know, what songs you're going to get, but it's just kind of one of those things. And it's a recurring theme. I've through listening to shows, it's just like every little piece, it's like so many different pieces that they have. And it's like, they all fit together though. It's kind of like the opposite of a puzzle where every piece has its place. It's like every single piece could be arranged and put a different spot. And just like, you never know what piece you're going to get that night. And the Estella Blue coming out was of Drums in Space was truly, truly amazing. It was a really, really good moment, just to kind of like, you're getting towards the end of the show, and you just had Drums in Space, and then Estella Blue comes out, and it's just kind of like this very calm, just like everything's cool, everything's good,
kind of like a lullaby almost.
Yeah, it's like it almost like a little, makes you a little bit sleepy and a little bit like you're hypnotized, and then they come out of that and go into One More Saturday Night, and I'm just like jamming and like dancing at that point.
Yeah, that they wake you the fuck back up, and they like lift you back up and set you down and send you off.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like it literally is like, it's like a it's like you look at a like a heart monitor, and it's like there's a spike that goes up, a spike that goes down, a spike that goes up, and the shows are almost like that. It's like up and down, and I think that's part of what makes the experience so cool, is that it's so many ups and downs within the show that it keeps you, you're just comfortable enough, but you're just off guard enough. It's kind of a weird medium.
That sounds like the way we should all live our lives. Just comfortable enough, but just off guard enough. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's how we should keep moving forward, right?
Yes. I think that's like the old, like, you know, typical saying, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And it's just kind of, I mean, it's kind of true in a way. Like, if you're comfortable enough, but you're just a little bit uncomfortable, I think that that's kind of like your happy medium of like, of just like the best way to experience life, because you know you never get bored, or but you don't get, you know, you don't get too much of one thing or too little of one thing. It's like a balance to your life at that point.
So if you had to pick one thing that's your favorite thing about the dead and this whole thing since you came into it, what would it be? Like, would it be like, you know, the community, or would it be what it's done for your art, or would it, you know?
And that's a tough question. I'm sitting here looking at him as he's asking.
Giving
that
me stink
like,
eye.
Dude, like, dude, yeah,
I could pick. I could pick.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Man, that's like, what's you know, my favorite child?
Oh, okay.
All right.
The grilled cheese sandwiches. All, oh.
It's also, I mean, you can't beat a good po' boy, but man, gosh, the community is so cool because people are just, I mean, you read about deadheads and like you read stories and you hear things people talk about deadheads and you're just like, that sounds so cool that people are like that. And then you experience it and it's like, wow, people are really like this. Like, this is really how deadheads are. The community is so cool. The show itself, I think honestly, my favorite thing that I've done or experienced with the dead has got to be going to the show. I just, because I think you're getting a little bit of everything. You're getting community, you're getting the music, you're getting like, you know, shared memories with good friends. It's got to be the show itself. There's really nothing like it.
Yeah, there ain't nothing like a Grateful Dead concert, man. So what do you got planned for the summer? Like, are you doing tour? Are you, what's up?
Yeah. So definitely, I want to do as many shows as I can, you know, with me being in Louisiana, they're kind of far from me. So I think I'm going to do, Atlanta. And I think Justin's actually going to be out there. We've discussed, and I think we've kind of confirmed that we're going to share a tent on the lot in Atlanta. So that'll be really awesome. So if people are looking for, you know, Justin or me or whatever, then we'll be able to be in the same spot. So that'll be cool. And then I'm definitely 100%. The shows I could not miss this tour was Boulder. So I've got my Boulder tickets. I still have to book those flights. So, but yeah, I'll definitely be Atlanta and Boulder. I'd love to do some more shows. I'll just have to kind of see what I can fit in my schedule, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, when they announced the tour and they were talking about, you know, we see that they're going to do the Gorge and they're going to do Eugene and then they're going to do Shoreline. Like, I'm like, gosh, you know, I would love to do it all. But reality is, financially, I don't know, man. Like, and also
got day jobs.
Yeah. And then also on the flip side of that is like, the Gorge is 4 hours away from Eugene. Like, so we're going to roll all night and do our thing up there and then drive to Eugene and do it again. And I don't know. I don't know, man. I think I'm just going to go big for one show and call it good. But if you can get out here, man, I'd love to hang out with you. And, you know, it's looking like we're going to have a spot in the lot in Eugene. So, you know, you're welcome to join us there as well.
I would absolutely love to. I actually looked at doing, I wanted to do the, if I was going to make another trip, I want to get two shows out of it. So I looked at the Eugene Gorge. I just don't know about like, I don't think I could do both because I don't think I could fly up and then like have to rent a car and drive and all that stuff. But
yeah, right.
I would love to. And maybe I will. If I can manage it, if I can fit in the schedule, if I can afford it, I would definitely 100% fly out there and visit with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this to a few people now, and I'll say it to you. I'll extend the invitation. If you get out this way, you have a place to crash, man.
Yeah, we'll
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Are you working on a bunch of new designs for the tour, or what?
Yeah, so on the shirt side of stuff, I think everything that I'm gonna release is set in stone. I've been working on them over the last few months. I had the summer tour design, the actual, like, just for the whole tour. I had that one ready, like, probably in January, because I knew that they would make an announcement sometime, so I wanted to launch that same day. So I did that one, and then I have 12 different shirts, so it's gonna be so much stuff. But I have, I believe, wow, just about a shirt for every show, or like a grouping of shows. So like I have one show that covers like the four California dates, and then I have like one for the two Camden dates. I have one that does the dates that are in Indiana, Ohio. So I've kind of grouped together some as I can, and then I've of course got a really cool design for the Oregon show that's kind of based around, I've always been a big fan of like the aesthetic of the Oregon football team. So it's a bright green. Yeah, the Ducks. So it's a bright green shirt, and it's got, you know, all my shirts for summer tour are that same kind of paint splatter design with the, you know, black steely over it. So it's kind of got Oregon colors, you know, yellow and green and stuff like that. So that one's really exciting. And I mentioned to you guys, awesome, and I can kind of share with your listeners, I love what you guys do. You do a fantastic job of just like getting people's experiences and talking to people and chatting with people. And literally, man, in, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, you can go from total stranger to like good friend with someone. It's a really good gift that you guys got. So I want to contribute.
Thank you, man. That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying dude. For real.
And I honestly mean it 100%. It's listening to you guys show every week is really, really cool. So I'll be donating a portion of my Oregon shirt sales directly to you guys in the podcast. That's just my small little thank
holy
you to,
shit, man. That's fucking cool.
That's just something I thought about that when I was designing that Oregon shirt. I thought of you guys. I knew you'd be at the show. So like, yeah, anybody who supports me and grabs one of those Oregon shirts, you'll be contributing directly back to No Civil Road. So that's like,
wow,
the least I can do.
Oh, thank you, brother.
We'll do your best to make it to Eugene. Yeah, that's, man. We can show you some hospitality.
Yeah, now
here
I have to come
in,
out there
in Portland.
Yeah, now you have to come. And I'll tell you what, like, before we moved to Portland, I'm not a football fan, nor am I a sports fan, but Apple is, right? And so, like, when we would tell people when we lived in Vegas that we were moving to Portland, they were like, oh, man, you know, the Ducks this, the Ducks that. And okay, whatever. And I remember somebody telling Apple, I think they told him, like, hey, man, if you're ever going to, like, if you ever get in beef in a bar.
If you're ever in a bar and somebody, like, starts talking shit, just go Ducks!
and you know what? After moving up here, it's true.
The same probably works down in New Orleans for Go Saints.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And then, especially, I went to LSU, so up in Baton Rouge. So LSU football, Saints football, it's like its own culture. Yeah, but it's the exact same thing. It sounds like you guys up there in Oregon are about as crazy about football as we are.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if those shirts are anything to do with Duck colors, you're going to get sell out in seconds.
That's definitely the goal.
I like to see what you've done with a few of your designs and stuff, because like, I am a sports fan, especially football, and I see a lot of artists doing that, mm-hmm, of tying in the emblems and stuff from sports stuff with the dead, mm-hmm, and kind of like good, like Dean's Nuts is doing with the black flag. There's a lot of crossover now and all the design work you guys are doing and stuff, and it's really cool to see these new twists on things and flair bringing it like relevant to where we are now.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's almost like a way of both like simultaneously expressing your love of the dead and then your love of like your favorite, Jeremy with Black Flag, or like your favorite sports team or something like that. It's kind of, you get kind of the best of both of those worlds. So I think it's really cool.
And that's the only way that Apple ever explained to me how, like, I was like, what is the big deal about football? Who cares? Why are people so crazy about their team? And he was like, why do you wear Grateful Dead t-shirts? And I was like,
ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
No matter what it is, if you're passionate and love it, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the only way that I ever understood it, and I was like, oh, it's like
the way I feel about the dead. Going to a professional sports game, there's nothing like the feeling of that either. It's not the same as TV, and then same with NASCAR. I've been to NASCAR. It's not the same. When you're there and you smell the smells of a football field, a baseball, you know, and the crowd, it's that congregation thing again, too. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost had like a mini version of that today, with it being Easter. If you live in the South, I guess particularly South Louisiana and the Gulf Coast for Easter, that is like the biggest day of the year for crawfish. So we had this massive crawfish bowl today. A lot of friends and family and stuff like that. I was playing the dead, and we did like 80 pounds of crawfish. So it's like kind
holy
of
shit.
People are as crazy about crawfish in Louisiana as people are about the dead or sports teams. It's almost like its own little following. It's kind of crazy to see how much people love eating like these ugly little bugs that come out of like
ugly little bugs. That's what Aaron calls
them. I can't,
ugly,
man. Sea see, bugs. Like I can't
seafood.
Do it, man.
Ugly little bugs and spiders
no.
and
oh my
so
gosh.
Weird.
They are
okay.
So good, though. I'll tell you, they are so good.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Okay. You know what? More for you guys, man. I'm good. I'm straight. You. So before we take off, I wanna find out something. So New Orleans has been coming up a lot for us lately for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But a lot of people that we've been meeting are from there, and it's just come up in conversation a lot. And my life, like I love the occult and magic and voodoo and all that. Like that's a real thing down there, right? Like,
oh,
that's 100%. That's a feeling in that city, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's maybe not quite as strong of a feeling as like, you know, that feeling we were talking about being on the lot or being at a show, but like walking around the French Quarter and looking at these old buildings and these old sites and stuff like that. And I mean, really most of the city, I guess I just say French Quarter because that's kind of like the point of reference for a lot of people, but it really is a tangible thing. And like, there's some places, if you take a wrong street, you will find your way into some voodoo shop and, God help you at that point. Cause you know, just never really know,
I think
but yeah,
you mean
no,
right
that's
street.
Like a, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. That's a real thing.
Wow, man. You know, it's a trip, like coming from somewhere like Vegas and where it's new, Vegas has only been around for a short while. And then places like New Orleans and even Portland to some extent, there's a feeling in the city where you know that the city knows more than you.
And, no, I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? And to have that basis of magic and that feeling in the air, it's somewhere that I really want to visit. I'm not a big drinker, and like that's always been the thing that's turned me
more
off to come
us.
In there. Yeah, more for you guys.
Just like you said
can
about
crawfish and whatever you want to drink.
Yeah.
I'll be boring going to voodoo shops and drinking water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no, it's
shit,
I mean,
man.
In a city that's, I mean, the city's turning 300 years old this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff under a lot of layers of dirt.
Yeah. And look, man, you're there. And so there's good shit that comes out of that place. I'm stoked, man. I get excited for when you and Jeremy and like Wicked Awesome and other guys like are put stuff out. Like I get excited for that stuff, and I'm excited to see what happens in summer. And I'm really honored and just I don't even know what to say. Like thank you so much for that offer that you made, man. Like you blew my mind a little bit. I appreciate
100%.
That.
And like I said, like the whole point of like what I do and what you guys do is like, I can, you know, I make a little money, I can pay towards some student loans and things like that. But like, it's 100% about keeping this wheel going and just, you know, sharing things and just doing what you can to make other people happy. And it's so like typical and like, I don't know what I'm looking for, but it's like people say that, but it really is one of those kind of deals where it's just, I'm happy to be along with the ride. And I feel almost like it's my obligation to reach out and share with people and just, you know, try to help out kind of where I can.
Wow.
I think it's a lot of fun. It's very, very it's very rewarding for sure.
You know, for all those people that give Mayer a hard time and talk shit about, like, you know, this iteration of the Grateful Dead, like that right there, what you just said is proof positive that it's the real thing, that is what's bringing that is what's coming out of him coming into the band, is people like you coming into the family. It's all good, man.
Yep.
Man, I really appreciate it. I sincerely do. I think that there's probably a lot of people who have had a similar experience with me with being brought in by Mayer, and I feel like there will continue to be people who are deadheads. They just don't quite know it yet, and that light will find them in the strangest of places when they look at it right.
Yep, and the music never stops, does it?
No, it never does.
All right, brother. Well, we'll talk soon, man. I have a feeling you and us are going to have some adventures together. So, you know, thanks for coming on the show, man. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
He's coming to New Orleans in the next year or so.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really, 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 really appreciate it. It's going to be really cool when this gets out there and have people hear it, stuff like that. I can't wait. It's going to be a continuance of a very, very fun ride that I've been on. So I thank you guys so much for it.
Right on, man.
It's a pleasure, Alex.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. What does that mean? Osiris is a place where you can discover great music and culture podcasts. If you like this one, go ahead and check out osirispod.com and get in the loop. Osiris partners with Relix Magazine. Check out relix.com for music news.